Hi, everyone. My name is Benno Papari, and this is the Songwriters on Process podcast. Since 2010, I've interviewed over 300 songwriters about, well, their songwriting process. I don't care about favorite cities, tour stories, favorite foods, or anything like that. My goal has always been to treat songwriters the same way that we treat poets and more traditional prose writers. They are writers, plain and simple. In these interviews, we go deep into the specifics of the writing process. This is no, hey, do you start with the lyrics of the music type of interview. Now, a little bit about me. I'm not a songwriter. In fact, I've never written a song in my life. I have a PhD in English language and literature, and I'm a former academic. So as a prose writer, I enjoy exploring how my process intersects with those of songwriters. This is an intelligent conversation about writing between two writers. And that, of course, means we talk a lot about books. The site features interviews across all genres, from metal to jazz, from country to that big category known as indie. You'll find a couple of A-list actors on the site and several members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well. Now, I select songwriters to interview who fit into one of two categories. One, do I listen to them already? And two, if I don't, would they make for a compelling and intelligent interview? You can find these interviews across all podcast platforms, as well as at songwritersonpodcast.com. Do you have an idea for an interview or a comment about the site? Hit me up at ben@songwritersonprocess.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy. And today's interview is with Genesis Owusu. So I saw Owusu this summer opening for Paramore. It was what a show, Paramore Block Party. And Genesis Owusu, and my our 19-year-old daughter is a huge Paramore fan, and I said I will go with you if we make sure we see the opening act, Genesis Owusu, because he is amazing. I first heard his music, I think, on Sirius XMU when his first album came out, and I know it's a cliche to say that, you know, such and such artist doesn't sound like anyone else, but I don't know that anyone sounds like him out there. The music is so unique and it's fantastic, and I'm a huge fan. So let's get that out of the way, that you've got to listen to him. The new album is called Struggler. But hey, I love this interview. This is the first songwriter I've interviewed ever who references Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot and Kafka's The Metamorphosis as influences. Well, first of all, references them, period, but references them as influences on their songwriting, and you'll see why when we talk. He's a devourer of literature and poetry, and that's reflected in the lyrics. And so that was, you know, we had a long discussion about plays and poetry, how he writes short stories. And he also talks about being a selfish songwriter. You'll see what he means by that, about how he really writes for himself. And, you know, I had just interviewed MC Taylor from His Golden Messenger, I think a week or right before Owusu and I talked. And Taylor told me how he doesn't trust anything that comes too quickly. If he has lyrics that come too quickly to him, he doesn't trust them. He feels like they're too easy. And I said that to Owusu. How do you feel about that? He's the exact opposite. He the ones that he trusts the most are the ones that come the fastest. He doesn't trust the ones that he has to work a long time on. So anyway, I'm a huge fan. He's just one hell of an artist. So give a listen. Again, the new album is called Struggler. And enjoy my interview with Genesis Owusu. Oh, well, listen, let's get started. So thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. And I, you know, I'm loath to start with the typical. I always avoid the question, you know, I like to go deeper than do you start with the music or the lyrics, but I find your music so captivating with that interplay. So I'm going to ask the question. It's so I hate the question because it's so easy, but I really am dying to know, because I listen to the music and it's just like the sound's amazing and the lyrics are incredible. So is there a typical beginning for that process for you?
I think the process is different for every project. And for this project, it started with a story. So I wrote a like one page short story, and the album was essentially like, how would this story sound? It started with the story, and then song by song, it was kind of, you know, different whether it came to like the music or the lyrics, but the lyrics probably came a lot easier in a sense because I was just trying to, I guess, translate this story from like, I guess, literature to sonics, if that makes sense.
It does. So when you started the short story, was the intent always to turn that into music, or was it, were those things, was that not the original intent?
When I wrote the story, I was kind of trying to regain some like a new sense of inspiration for going into the second album. So I'd made my first album and I feel like I poured a lot of like my life experiences and thoughts and feelings up to a certain point all into that first album. And then I toured it. Oh, and then COVID, and then I toured it, and then it was like time to make a second album. So I had to kind of recalibrate where I drew my inspiration from. So I was looking into like plays and literature. And yeah, so I kind of put together this short story as part of that process of kind of revamping my mind. And then, yeah, and then the album kind of turned into that story.
So you said plays. So my PhD is in 20th century dramatic literature. So playwrights. Yes. In fact, I don't know if you can see, but there's Tennessee Williams and that's Tennessee Williams. Oh, yeah. I've got that is Sam Shepard and Eugene O'Neill behind me. So, but no songwriter has ever mentioned plays. So I was gonna ask this later, but I mean, it sounds like literature is an important part of your creative mind anyway. So how do you read every day? I mean, I find that songwriters are voracious readers for the most part. I think, you know, I've interviewed, you know, I just had an interview with Jerry Harrison of the Talking Heads, and, you know, there's a pretty clear link between good lyrics and people who read, right? So how much, I mean, I just don't find many songwriters who've been around for a while who say, yeah, I never read. It's a waste of my time. I mean, they can list all the poets, all the novelists, all the people that they read every day. So, how much is that a part of your daily life?
If I'm being really honest, I took a huge lull from reading, and coming back into this album was me kind of restarting that process. So I read a lot in my like mid to later teenage years, and then I didn't read that much. I read a few like autobiographies. I was mostly into like fiction back in the day, but I started getting into a few autobiographies, but not too much. And then when I started this album, that's when I started picking up like absurdist literature.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and I'd actually never really seen a full play before, honestly, before like last year. And my first one was Waiting for Godot, Samuel Beckett, and that was the play that I was referencing when I was talking about watching plays. That was actually a huge inspiration for the album.
Gosh, what? Well, I mean, my gosh, we got to talk about this. I mean, first of all, first songwriter ever to mention Waiting for Godot. So I love it. I mean, what made you go? Yeah. What made you? I mean, there's a lot of plays you could read, obviously, but what about that? What drew you to that play originally just to read it?
I think as a friend actually mentioned it in passing. Because he saw like a YouTube video about it or something really mundane and uninteresting. But I think the two main things that really inspired this album were Waiting for Godot and Metamorphosis with Franz Kafka. And I think they just really, I don't know, I saw like a synopsis on both of them, and they were, I read like the first few passages of the Metamorphosis. And I thought both of them were just so like hilariously on point with how I felt, or I feel like how we collectively felt living through the past few years. Like for example, with the metamorphosis, you know, first few pages, he turns into the giant bug. And the first thing he thinks is, damn, how am I going to get to work today? Like, what's my boss going to think? You know? And I just thought that was so hilariously on point with, like, we just lived through this massive global pandemic. Over here in Australia, we went through these crazy bushfires that, you know, almost burnt down my house. You know, every morning I can go on TikTok and see like live feed of a war in real time.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone around me still, you know, has to put on their suits and ties and head to the office like business as usual. And it's a really absurd way to live. It's like absurd and chaotic, but also I think it underlied this sense of appreciation in me towards like the resilience and like the stubbornness of like the human will to survive and to keep going. And I think through that journey, it's also became like quite existential as like, how do we do this? Why do we do this? What's the point? Blah, blah, blah. And that's where, you know, the themes of Waiting for Godot kind of stuck out to me as well. Essentially like, questioning why, I suppose, was a big part of it as well.
So are you, when it comes to fiction, are you like I'm very much of a genre person. Like when I read an author, my instinct isn't to read something else by that author. It's to read another voice just to get another voice in my head. So are you a genre person or an author person? I mean, how do you select? I really would like to know, because that for me, I just go to book review websites and say, oh, this looks like a good, you know, a good book. But how do you pick what you're going to read?
I think, you know, like I said, I took quite a lull. So I guess for me, it's more akin to how I read poetry, rather, is more so by author. But it's kind of both in a sense, because like, for example, like Gil Scott-Heron and Maya Angelou are some of my favorite poets. And it's like, when I discovered them, I just wanted to read all of their stuff. But also because I knew that it was coming from this particular viewpoint that I wanted to know more about. So it kind of was like a genre thing in the same sense, because I kind of got the gauge of what they were going to talk about, and I wanted to know more about what they were going to say about certain topics in this realm. But I guess the immediate answer to that question is I'm probably more of an author person. Like I want to explore their whole viewpoint and scope and perspective on the world.
Yeah, most people are. I'm an anomaly in that sense. Most people are author people. I feel like I've had a string of songwriters recently who've told me that they read poetry, but honestly, of the 400 I've interviewed, I mean, like probably 10 or 15 have said, oh yes, poetry is important to me, whether as a songwriter or not. So I heard you mention poetry. So how does poetry, reading poetry, how does that make you a better songwriter?
Well, I think for me, it's all kind of been a, like, somewhat of a linear trajectory. Like when I was really young, like primary school or elementary school, is when I started writing short stories. And then I kind of left that to start writing poetry. And then that became like a era in my life. And then the reason I started making music, specifically starting with hip hop, was because I just wanted more people to listen to my poetry. So hip hop to me was just poetry with a beat behind it.
Yeah.
So I guess it's important to my life, because I wouldn't be doing music if I didn't start reading and writing poetry in the first place. So it's all kind of been, kind of like a somewhat linear trajectory for me.
But I feel like poetry is so much based on, you know, the sounds of the words and how they just the beauty of the sounds but so is songwriting. I mean, when you write lyrics, you got to make sure the words fit and the sounds, you know, there's that element too. So I've never understood why songwriters are so resistant to reading poetry when I feel like you can learn so much from just the beauty of the words on the page.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe like the sound is probably more important to a lot of people. Not for me personally. Like the sound is more important than the meanings behind the sounds to a lot of people. So yeah, when they don't have that like immediate basis of, you know, maybe the sounds of the words sound good coming out of your mouth, but they don't have like subwoofers behind them to like
give them that punch, you know.
Yeah. For me personally, I love the meanings of what is being said is the most important thing to me.
Yeah. All right. So you mentioned Maya Angelou. I actually have a Maya Angelou quote on my screen over here. And I like quoting authors and having songwriters respond like what that quote means to them. So this is the Maya Angelou quote. She said, "There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you." So I'll read that aloud. I'll read that again. "There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you." So I love that. I love that. It's so powerful. But I guess as a songwriter, how often do you get, you know, the urge where it's like in the immediacy of I have to write right now kind of thing?
It's honestly something. Well, first of all, I love that quote and I completely agree with it. Sometimes people ask me like, you know, why am I doing this career, I suppose? And honestly, it's like, I feel like I have to, you know, like I feel like if I didn't get these things out, I'd explode. I'd disintegrate, you know? It's this crazy, just intrinsic need to just get this stuff out and off my chest. In regards to how often I feel like I just need to stop and write, it's been something that I've been, tussling with in my day to day, just as this career becomes more and more of a career, the need to write often outweighs the want to write, in regards to like frequency a lot of the time. Like now, you know, what I was just talking about before where it's this intrinsic need, a lot of the time that was like a tool of therapy for me. It was therapeutic when I felt like I needed to get something off my chest. That's when I wrote. But now as a musician who is making music to, you know, pay light bills and pay for groceries, it's become, I need to also view it in a sense as like a product where I can keep giving it out to people, which is something that's very challenging for me to view the art as.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just something that I've been figuring out in my day to day very recently, and how to merge the two perspectives more and more with this. You know, like even like we were talking about going to try and rejig my inspiration by looking into, you know, plays and books. That was, I guess, me trying to fuse the two together, because I knew I needed to make the second album, but I still wanted to make it real and authentic and something that I actually wanted to say. So, It's been a process of less so waiting to be inspired or waiting to have something to say, and more so about finding something to say, but keeping it, keeping that hunger there that makes me feel like I need to say this and I need to get this off my chest.
It's a difference I see, you know, when you read interviews with prose writers, they will say, you got to write every day. Doesn't matter how bad it is. You can't take days off. Like, you have to sit down, get your butt in the seat, and write. Songwriters, I find, don't feel that way. It's not as much, it's a little more of a let me wait until the inspiration comes kind of thing. Although, again, I feel like the ones that have been around the longest will say, you know, even if you have to write, even if it's bad, you have to write it. So I guess for you, is it important to try to create every day for anything, any kind of art? Or do you feel like it's better just to wait for that to strike?
Well, for me, honestly, my process has always been quite selfish and self-centered in a way, where it's been like, it's very much about me, what I want to say when I feel like I need to say it. So it's like, oh, it's almost to the point where, you know, if I have a feeling or like a thought, I gauge the quality of the end result by how accurately I was able to get that thought from my mind to the, you know, the record. If I was able to get it like that feeling 100% from my mind to the record, then it's an amazing project. It's an amazing album. Even if it's like people feel like sonically they can dance to that third track way better than they can dance to that first track, for me that first track is the best one, because it's all about, for me, how I can accurately express myself. I forgot your initial question.
I was gonna say, is it important to, even if it's bad, create every day?
So my thing for a long time, and honestly still to this day, is just like, I do this for me, and I'm very blessed and happy that people like it and like I can, you know, I can live off it. But it, first and foremost, it is, you know, it's a tool of therapy. It's a tool of self-expression. It's a tool of figuring myself out. So I don't really approach it in a way where it's like I have to get really, really good at this in like a technical aspect. It's more just, how do I relay my emotions and thoughts in the most accurate way so that I can stop feeling like I'm going to explode if I don't, you know, get this out. It's really just been a tool of self-expression that luckily other people have really enjoyed. So now I can tour off it.
So you're okay then if a couple of days pass and you haven't created or.
Yeah, I am actually. I am. That honestly means things are going pretty good in my life.
Oh, really? So
yeah, because, you know, like I said, I write. When the intrinsic feeling comes to write, it's because I've something's been weighing on me and I need to get it out. So, you know, I guess if the intrinsic feeling to write isn't there, it probably means like I've been feeling pretty relaxed, honestly, which is nice every once in a while.
What a unique perspective, because typically it's, you know, when you do it as a career and a couple of days pass and you think there's no output for this thing that is now my job, but that's a really, that can be really healthy perspective that you have, as long as you don't wait too long, I guess.
Right?
Yeah. Because a lot of songwriters tell me that, no, I mean, after a few days, they get kind of anxious if, you know, geez, like I need to, something's got to happen. So I love that. So from a purely logistical perspective, I'm guessing you just have hundreds of voice memos on your phone of ideas, right? So is there any, I know this is a very minutia question, but is there any sense of organization? Because most songwriters tell me they just thumb through the endless voice memos trying to find that idea. So do you organize them at all or no?
No. It's the same for me. I do have I have voice notes, but I also have like a specific notes app where when an idea or a lyric comes, then I write it in that specific note. So I know where to find it.
Gotcha.
And that's where I honestly refer to that more than I do the audio voice notes. like when I'm in a writing session or something like that, I'll usually, if I don't get an idea, like in the first like 5 or 2 minutes, I'll just like go to that notes app and, you know, read these little phrases that I've thought of, you know, and they'll usually spark something.
So when it comes to lyrics, then, are you a pen and paper person or a computer person or phone person?
I'm a phone person.
You are.
It's not romantic. It's not romantic at all. But yeah,
it's some songwriters are so particular with like brand of pen. I mean, stories I hear, color of ink. I could do a whole website dedicated just to the. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. It is. They're very loyal. But I mean, I when I talk about ritual, like I think. I have a ritual, right? Like I write in this chair, but I revise in that chair behind me because I like to separate those things. I could revise in this chair, but I prefer not to. And so I'm kind of wedded to this. I know what time of day is most effective for me, things I have to have with me. I know that there are places I get my best writing done, but my fear is that if I rely on those things too much, then it's an excuse if I'm not in those places to say, I'm not there, so I can't write. So that's that kind of tension within me of maybe I need to be more flexible, even though I recognize that there are places where I'm the most effective. Honestly, it weighs on me because I think it's an excuse. It's like, you know, I'm not at home and I don't write well, you know, in an airplane or something, so I won't write there.
That's really interesting. And it's honestly for me, it's like the opposite. And like, it's like almost grass is greener type situation. Like, I wish I had like this grand notebook, you know, and this like great pen that writes so smoothly. Like, I honestly feel like that would feel really, like empowering in a sense. But I think just because of the way that my life works, like, I don't know, I travel a whole lot and I like to keep very light on my toes. Like if I'm traveling somewhere, I try just pack as much in carry on as possible. You know, I'm moving too much and I don't have, you know, every day something new is happening. So I can't figure out like a schedule, like a routine. Which is why I just have the phone, you know. If I don't have my grand notebook, I need to be able to write something when I'm, you know, on this walk at like 1 p.m. or like if I'm touring and I'm about to do a sound check and an idea pops up. Like I need to have something that's just ready with me always on the go. And that's just why I'm a phone guy.
Do you get a lot of ideas? I do hear walks, run, biking, you know, not movement like in cars and planes and stuff like that. But when you're propelling yourself, I get a lot of ideas, certainly when I'm walking, running, things like that. So do you get a lot of ideas and moments of activity?
Yeah, definitely. Walks are definitely... great for me. They're like cleansing. They're like I can clear my head in walks, and you know, when I walk and you know, when I clear my head, it allows for new ideas to come. So I definitely get a lot of that particular note gets a lot of activity when I put my steps in.
So you get those ideas come, you don't use it as a break from the ideas, you use it as a way, you just sometimes get the ideas on the walks themselves.
I think I think it's both, honestly. I think it's, you know, talking about earlier, trying to find the inspiration, the walks are when the inspiration finds me a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So I'll use the walk as a way to just relax and clear my head. And that's when things will naturally come rather than me trying to find them.
And also I hear mundane activities. Songwriters tell me, and I do too, ideas... activities that require no forethought. So vacuuming, cleaning, chopping vegetables, cooking, whatever activity is that requires no conscious thought that allows the subconscious to bubble up to the front. I hear 100%. That all the time. So do you, are there specific activities or does that happen to you a lot?
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. Like you said, vacuuming, walking, showering. It's like a sick little trick the brain plays on you. Every time you're not looking for it, it'll come.
Well, there was an article in the Washington Post that I started to read a few months ago about why the actually was about why we get our best ideas in the shower. And you know, there are a variety of theories, you know, whether it's the water, the cleansing, like how Freudian, you know, how psychoanalytic do you want to go, right? Is it just the fact that you're, is it the water, the cleansing? Is it just the solitary element of it, right? It's like that's one of the few places we have, you know, privacy. But I hear that a lot too, in the shower, very common. I got one more quote I want to read to you, a couple more actually. So I have a songwriter recently told me that they don't trust lyrics that come to them too quickly, that lyrics that happen too quickly, they feel like they're a little cheap because they were too easy. So this is a quote by H.L. Mencken, and he says, this is kind of the idea. The value of writing seems to be inversely proportional to the ease of writing. Whatever flows freely and bubblingly turns out to be sorry stuff a week later.
Wow. That's like almost shocking to me because it's the complete opposite for me.
Is it? Yeah.
Complete opposite. Like I find so much of the stuff that I love the most is stuff that like just like blurted out of me. And honestly, with that quote as well, it's like a week later when I come back to read it, I'm like picking up more stuff that I didn't even mean.
Oh, really?
That I didn't even think that it meant. But I'm like, wow, this could also mean this. And yeah, my favorite and best stuff is always the stuff that just comes out. Because yeah, I guess like I said, my process is very much just about self-expression. So when it comes out so easily, I don't know, it just feels like I'm like channeling something, or it's like, yeah, it's meant to be.
So are you less likely to revise those lyrics that happen quickly because you feel like they're from a deeper place?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say a lot of the stuff that I have to really like lumber over and stumble over and like pick at stuff that, you know, by the end of the session or by the end of the day, I'm just like I'm very whatever about when I have to try really hard to get the point across, it rarely feels like it was worth the effort. Whereas when I get the idea and it just comes out so naturally and easily, it feels like, it just feels like it's, it was exactly what was inside, just, translated sonically perfectly. And also, you know, my process isn't very much about like feedback between me and fans or anything like that, but I do notice that the songs that happens with are a lot of the times the songs that fans will message me about, and they'll be like, wow, I really resonated when, you know, you wrote this and this and this. And it would generally be those things that came out so fast.
So the ones that are difficult that you're struggling with, are you more likely to just to give up on them, not complete them, say, damn it, I'm going to finish this to the end? Or do you set it aside and say, let me let this sit for a couple weeks, come back, and maybe I'll see it from a new perspective?
I definitely try and finish it to a point most of the time. I'm rarely a guy that will like specifically on a, like one song will let it sit half finished and then come back to it like 2 weeks later. If I ever let it sit half finished, I'm probably never coming back to it.
Yeah. All right, last question, last quote.
Okay.
This is the one that blows the songwriters away. E.L. Doctorow said, writing is like driving at night in the fog. You can only see as far as the headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. So I'm going to say that one more time. Writing is like driving at night in the fog. You can only see as far as the headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. So yeah, as a songwriter, does that resonate with you? Do you see the end when you start? I know as a writer, I feel like I don't have a right knowing what it's supposed to look like at the end. But again, I'm a prose writer, not a songwriter. As a songwriter, do you feel like you need to know what it's supposed to be like at the end, or would you rather be surprised and kind of have it take you places?
I love that quote.
It's just an amazing quote.
Yeah, that's a great quote. I feel the same way. I feel as if, you know, specifically with this album that I just wrote, I feel like the story kind of changed and adapted with me. Like I was very much on the tip of absurdism and you know, what comes will come. And the story that I was writing definitely adapted and turned as I was living day to day. There was no way that I could honestly and genuinely like put a ending point to that I hadn't actually experienced yet myself. I think writing is like, you know, driving in the fog with the headlights. I think living is like driving in the fog with the headlights. I guess my writing is just an expression of my living. So yeah, no, I totally resonate with that.
And that's it for today's episode. Check back in a couple of weeks for a new episode. I do try to post these every 2 weeks, sometimes with more frequency, sometimes with less. A lot of that depends on my work commitments, my family commitments, and also when artists can talk to me. It's not easy to get these interviews. Speaking of interviews, did you know this is a relatively new podcast? I only started podcasting about a year ago. Depending on when you're listening to this, I should say 2022. But from 2010 to 2022, all of my interviews were transcribed and they are all there archived for you to go down that deep rabbit hole. So if you go to songwritersonpodcast.com and click on From the Archives at the top, you'll see all of those transcribed interviews. I think there's over 200. So go down that rabbit hole. There's a lot of great interviews there. You'll find all of those there. Again, the podcast itself is relatively recent. So there's a lot of reading you need to be catching up on with those old interviews. Speaking of interviews, if you have suggestions for interview subjects or want to comment or complain, anything like that, email me at ben@songwritersonprocess.com. That's ben@songwritersonprocess.com. And that's it for today's episode. This wraps it up. Thank you very much for listening and have a good one.